Hey, everybody. Welcome to Sunday Night Flesh and Blood. I'm Nick, here with Colin and Ryan. We are Team Raising Quell, a subsidiary of the Romping Club. We are here with episode... I wrote down episode 7, but I think it's episode 6. Is it episode 6?
It says 6. I wasn't even thinking.
Episode... It says 6 in the title of the podcast thing. Oh.
Well, on my notepad, I wrote episode 7, so I'll fix that. We're here with episode 6. The Evergreen Reinar Guide. We have a very special episode today. This is an idea that we kind of had, I think, Colin, I think you kind of had this like since the beginning. But for each of us, at some point, we will do kind of an Evergreen hero guide for our respective like favorite heroes that just talks about general ways to play the heroes, ways to build them, like our opinions on them. And basically the point of it is to be an episode that like, I don't know, indefinitely anybody could come back and listen to if they want to pick up said hero. So this episode will be about Reinar. So I'm thinking somebody, you know, like someone who's never registered Reinar for an event, like a big event before, like I don't know, someone like Hayden Dale, maybe, you know, never actually registered Reinar, he could come listen to this podcast and get an idea of like how should you build Reinar for a big event, why would you take the hero, that kind of thing. So that's kind of, I'm surprised I made it.
That's actually hilarious. It's actually so funny that you said that, which I definitely didn't know you were going to say. But part of the reason I suggested this was because like a week after getting into Flesh and Blood and realizing like, yeah, okay, this is what I'm going to do competitively now that I don't play Hero Clicks anymore. Like you guys told me about Arsenal Pass and I immediately like went and scrolled through other episodes and I saw there was a Brood episode and I was like so excited and I listened to it. And it was like the same idea as what I want to do for this episode, because that episode's like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years old now.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we'll have to replace that and have this be the go-to Evergreen Reinar guide in podcast form in the Flesh and Blood space.
I should re-listen to that episode. It'd be interesting to hear like 3 years past the fact.
You should have listened to it like today.
Yeah,
so anyways, we're gonna do a little bit of banter, you know, Colin's favorite part of every episode at the beginning. but the main thing for this episode is going to be the Evergreen Reinar guide. So Ryan and I are going to interview Colin and have him just, you know, ramble on about his favorite hero and teach us some stuff. So yeah, let's get into it. All right, guys. So before we get into the Evergreen Reinar guide portion of this episode, I got a few topics for us to banter about. So are you guys ready? Are you excited
to
get into that?
Yeah, let's banter.
Yeah, first one. I don't know if I've been keeping up with Flesh and Blood Twitter, my favorite online space. and people are losing their shit over this KO deck list, the starter, the KO Armory deck. And it is just the most hilarious thing ever. People are like actually like so sad and angry that like, oh, Bloodrush Bellow is not in the deck. Beast Within's not in the deck. Blah, 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 blah.
Where's Swing Big? Yeah.
Where is Swing Big? Why isn't LSS undercutting their own sealed product in this product for new player? Like, so anyway, that's one part of it. But also it's like, yeah, clearly, to me, that means this product is, like, hitting the mark. The product is for new players, not players that are ingrained in Flesh and Blood Twitter and probably have all the cards already. Like, this product is for new players to pick up and use and hopefully have some fun, do some powerful things. And when you have that new chest piece and the new Brute CNC-looking card and Humble with a Might token, you're going to be doing some stuff. It looks like fun to me.
Yeah. Yeah, the deck looks fun. I could definitely see where people are coming from with the anger, though. You know, it is geared towards new players, but they do print some pretty powerful cards that people feel like they need to buy the set for. So I could see where the frustration could possibly like start from. But again, I think it is a good starter product. And hopefully it just gets new players to play the game. you know, it's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Gets to try it out. I think my main thing, or one of my, I don't know, I guess one of my main reactions is like, yeah, seen a lot of people talk about Beast Within, but it's like, I don't think a card like Beast Within belongs in a deck that's made for a brand new player. Like, imagine being a brand new player and you're like playing this deck and you're like doing some cool, fun things. You're making some might tokens.
Dude,
and then you like discard Beast Within and you're like, wait, how do I resolve this? Like, what is happening right now? Like, that would confuse
me. And then I'm dead.
And now I'm dead? Like, that would be very confusing.
I don't have to imagine. I was a new player who was picking up Brute Majestics and I had Beast Within and it was in my deck. And I literally was like, I don't understand this card. What does it do? Why would you ever want this? Because I had Beast Within before I had Bloodrush Bellows and I didn't know Bloodrush Bellows existed. And so like the extra card was just never helpful unless I'm like rolling a six on scabs. So I'm like, why would I ever want this? I just lose health to get a card that I don't use. What?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's around the time we were opening a lot of Crucible, me and Peter. And I think I just had Beast Within. So I was like, here, put those in your Reinhardt deck.
Yeah. That's M in the bottom. That's gotta be good.
Yeah. Has to be good. A yellow six is great.
You gave me that foil Beast Within. I still have it.
Yep.
Yeah. And then,
My personal opinion, though, is that I like, I'm mostly with you guys. Yeah, it's a good starter deck. I think a one-off Bloodrush Bellow would have been good because I kind of like the idea of a new player having a power card that they play towards and learn to play towards. That kind of, and especially when it's the card that kind of defines the class at this point.
Yeah,
yeah, maybe it's like a Reinar Armory deck, you know? But like with KO, I feel like it's not even that necessary to me. You know, I think what defines KO is like pulping Go Again into another big attack like Bear Fangs. You know, that's what I think of when I think of KO. Not necessarily Bloodrush Bellow like I do Reinar or Levia for that matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Bloodrush Bellow is obviously like an amazing card and a staple Brute card and very powerful and very pushed. Pushed enough where the newest Brute has one arm so they can't abuse Bloodrush Bellow. But yeah. I also think that like including a one of Bloodrush Bellow also would like leads to like feels bad moments for a brand new player. Cause it's like you lose a game and it's like, oh, I never drew my one Bloodrush Bellow. It's like, that's like that. It's just inconsistent at that point. And it's like, if they like the deck, cool. Buy some Bloodrush Bellows for 15 bucks, like 15 bucks for a playset. If they don't like the deck, sell your Savage Sash for $150 or whatever it's going to be. and buy some Runeblade shit or something like.
Yeah, that's the class you want to buy into right now.
Whatever, you know, do some speculating in the market. I do think Savage Sash is like cracked, honest. Like, I think it's going to be really, really, really good.
I think I'm with you. I think that the temper too is just so good in all Brutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Doesn't seem like Colin's really about it into Reinar, but
it's just Tunic is just so good.
Yeah.
Like your Bloodrush Bellows are so much more consistent. You've got so many more outs on like turns when you like draw poorly, or if you like have more options on like your Savage Feast turns, or you have the option of like double clawing. It just does so much. It helps if you like are like playing unmovables and you don't draw the blues for it. It helps if you're like playing Oasis. It just does so much.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those things where every super tuned... I've also never really had a very correct or good opinion on Brute deck building because I'm not very good into it.
Same.
But good thing you're doing the Evergreen episode.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's going to be one of those things where at least like for KO... And then probably Levia too, but it's like for KO, like every deck will have Sash and Tunic. And Sash will be like for the ninja matchups, for like the aggro race matchups, because like the two block and then like the probably two to three resources. Probably two most of the time. Three would be like insane. but like KOs are already running what's it called?
Heart and Cross Trap.
Yeah, already running Cross Trap for aggro races. It's like, okay, here's Heart and Cross Trap basically that blocks two. Like,
yeah.
That's busted.
For KO, it definitely makes sense, and for Leviat, it probably makes sense. Just for Reinar, I think most games you'd only get one resource out of it. It would just bail you out of a Bloodrush Billow turn, or it would just block three.
Which Tunic does for you multiple times in a game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Because it depends on the build. Our current build, I don't think it probably fits into our plan as much.
That's true. Because we have more three aggro costs.
Yeah. Some of the more aggro lists that run like Runner, things like that, it might fit a little bit easier into.
That's true.
But into our special build, it doesn't. Yeah. Into Colin's special build, not mine.
I'm not looking forward to KOs covering up, or at every brute, covering up my first Lumina of the game, just all with equipment, all 8 damage, just to cover it with equipment. That's not going to be fun for me.
True.
I actually think that the Sash could swing Bolton's KO matchup back into KO's favor. And it was already like, maybe, at least in my testing results and everything, like slightly Bolton favored. Actually, not even slightly, like 70% Bolton favored, but that's Talishar. But I think it might swing it a lot because that extra 2 armor block is very good against Bolton.
Yeah.
Do they run cross strap into you? Typically?
Depends on the KO. Cross strap, I usually think, is the better choice into me because like the game's not going to go that long, you know? It's like, that a free Bear Fangs or something is usually worth it in our games. But honestly, it really comes down, whatever. We don't need to talk about that matchup. We're here for different reasons, we're here for a different brew. do you guys have anything else you want to banter about? Or just the KO Armory deck and how it's the worst product ever created and LSS is horrible and stupid and didn't put any thought into it at all?
Nope, you summed up my thoughts exactly.
Nope. I think I'm excited for this weekend. We're all going to be playing ProQuest together, me and Colin on Saturday, and then all 3 of us on Sunday at the same one, so that's exciting.
Yeah. I almost forgot. Saturday, the ProQuest is at the Haven Games in Castleberry, just outside of Orlando. There's an after party for that ProQuest at the Castle Irish Pub. I'll be playing music there. So hopefully people from the ProQuest come out and hang out, drink some beer, listen to some music. And then the next day we're all going up to Kingsway. Is that what it's called? Kingsway Games or Kingsway Collectibles or something?
Mm-hmm.
It should be really fun. It'll be my one and only ProQuest of the season, so hopefully I win.
Yeah. I'm just excited to 0-3 drop at the Haven and then go drink like 7 Guinnesses.
Dude, while I got you.
Like scream singing songs with you. It's going to be great.
Dude, put them on my tab. Put them on my tab. Don't even worry.
Dude, I
remember
will
last
do that.
Time? Oh. Last time you came, you like tried to put drinks on my tab and they like didn't believe you.
They're oh,
like,
they did not even believe me at all.
I had like tell the bartender and like I had to be like Paul, I promise he's with me. Like, man, he's fine.
I think I'm also like kind of awkward. So like when they're like, "All right, how are you going to pay?" I'm like, "It's on his tab." They're like, "Okay, I do not believe you for 1 second."
Yeah, after I finished playing, the waitress or whatever was with you, she was like, "Yo, great job, Nick, great job." Also, that guy over there, like, is he actually like, like, "You got some of his beer?" I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Yeah, it's my buddy Ryan." Like, she's like, "Okay, I just wanted to double check.
Ready for round 2.
Yeah, you'll walk in there, they'll be like, "Oh, Jesus, this guy again." it's a great bar. Colin, are you coming out? You plan on coming out at all?
It depends how Saturday goes, you know, how long of a day it is and stuff like that. Alexis is going for sure.
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, cool.
That'll be fun. Is she going to bring Juniper?
Yeah.
She's my number one fan.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. She'll dance a lot.
Yeah, she will.
Well, I think Peter's going too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Peter is coming. I told him he could also sleep on my couch. So,
oh, yeah, we're going to struggle.
He might be going too wide on the couch.
I'm cool with that.
Because, now we have a 2-year-old, so we don't have a guest bedroom. We have a playroom with
no
bed.
That's cool, man. I'll sleep on the
floor. You're on the couch. Yeah, you sleep on the floor, too. Cool. All right, well, let's get into this Reinar, this evergreen Reinar guide. What do you guys say?
Sounds good.
Awesome. Colin, do you want to just start us? Do you have a monologue prepared or anything? Or should we ask you a question to start?
I didn't like specifically prepare a monologue, but I did think a little bit ahead of time about like you know, just kind of like why I play Reinar, why someone would play Reinar, what I think Reinar is cool at, like what he does well and stuff like that. So I could start with that, or if you guys are going to ask me about those things anyways, you could just ask.
You should just do the monologue and then answer all of our questions in it, and we won't have to ask you a single question.
We'll wrap this up
real early.
All right, sounds good.
I guess, just give us a brief overview of the hero and like what's unique about them. If you want, maybe get into like why you like the hero as well, but just like give us a brief overview.
Okay, yeah, I can do that. So yeah, I guess if you look at what makes Reinar unique, is compared mostly to the other brutes, is that I think he's like the most versatile of the brutes. Whereas the other two are pretty aggro-minded, Reinar can do a lot of different things. You know, obviously, I guess the mechanic that makes him unique is intimidate. The other brutes can intimidate, but Reinar does intimidate a lot. So that answers the question more directly of what makes him unique. But to me, like when I look at him and I'm like, okay, why would I not pivot to the other brutes? It is that like versatility that I like. Like for a long time, like way back in the day, I was playing club because that's where you would probably start with Reinar if you're just like a new player getting in. It's a signature weapon and all. And that's a really fun deck. It's like, you know, above rate, mid-range deck, plays lots of good defensive cards, lots of aggressive cards, can set up big intimidate turns. But then you've also got, you know, these Reinar decks that are running 9 pummels. You've got Reinar decks that are just straight up trying to fatigue you. You've got Reinar decks that are running no block cards. And trying to do above rate things with like pulping and wild ride and abusing like the +1 value from club. He's like super versatile. So that's kind of like why I like him. What I think sets him apart is like the versatility and the different ways you can build him. And even though he might not be the best in the meta at any of those one things, he can do all those things. And so it kind of always leaves room to like grow as a player and a deck builder and stuff.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. And you know, I think one of the first things I ever heard about Reinar is that he's 50-50 into everything.
Yeah.
And I think it's because he's versatile like that. He can be built in many different ways for many different game plans and stuff.
Yeah. If you're somebody who like is looking for a new hero, I think one of the main draws to Reinar is that he doesn't have crazy swingy matchups. That 50-50 into everything, that is something you'll hear people say. It's definitely not like 100% true, like because usually whatever the best deck in the meta is, Reinar is unfavored to them because he's just not one of the best decks. Specifically if the best deck is like an aggro deck, and those are his harder matchups. But yeah, even like tough aggro decks, like he can play with, especially now that he's got a fridge.
Yeah, that was a good overview of Reinar. It sounds like he's similar to Dash and what I value in Dash, in that they're both flexible. And I think that's why I've been enjoying playing Reinar the past few weeks, and I'm excited to play him some more in the ProQuest season. I know I have some more personal questions. I know Nick has some more like technical questions on how Reinar works. And we'll kind of like sprinkle them in. So one of mine is what's like a pet card for Reinar for you? You know, like what's a brute card you wish worked, but you know, just sometimes doesn't pan out.
So Brute has, again, like if this is like an evergreen thing, I think pet cards are something that Brute does really well. Like if by pet card you mean like card that maybe isn't like inherently strong in every situation, but can be really cool from time to time. Mm-hmm. Cards that jump to mind are Savage Beatdown and Dig Up Dinner for me. Two cards that can like win you games, and two cards that sometimes you just don't want to see in your hand. Me specifically, I'd probably go with Dig Up Dinner. I just think it's like super fun and has a lot of utility and is a blue block 3, non-attack action, which I really am valuing super highly right now. But yeah, like probably those two, I think, are two of the cooler Reinar cards, where if you are getting into the hero, I would definitely recommend picking them up, not because they're the best, but because you're going to have more fun when those cards are in your deck.
Yeah, it's so true. Dig Up Dinner is amazing. I was playing earlier today, and I saw two Bloodrush Bellows in one hand, and I pitched them both away in back-to-back turns, and then played Dig Up Dinner after that, and then shuffled the deck and like saw them like spread out more through the game. I thought that was just like super cool.
Yeah, yeah. One of the reasons I love it for sure is that exact play. I used to do Sand Sketch Plan for the same thing, but Dig Up Dinner like is way better because it gains you life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess Dig Up Dinner too. It puts back 6 power attacks, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's Reinar's main thing, is he needs to like leverage a certain amount of 6 powers in his deck to do what he wants to do. Either like intimidate, like for a big finisher, like with an Alpha Rampage or something like that, or have a big burst turn with like a Bloodrush Bellow followed up by an attack. And so that's something else that Dig Up Dinner helps with, is just like keeping your deck full of 6 powers so that you can go longer. And that's something that I think Reinar does really well, is play the long game. And so if that's something else that interests you, is like, you know, these long, drawn out, kind of grindy games, like it's kind of mid-rangey, except then Reinar breaks the mid-range at the end of the game when he can, like, you know, triple intimidate and kill the person from like 12 health or so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like a remembrance a little bit.
It is very similar.
Yeah. But it blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't mid as hell. But
yeah. But also sometimes it gains you no life and costs you one resource.
Yep.
Oh, it's not a zero cost?
Nope.
Yeah, it's a one cost.
Oh. Dude.
Blocking with 3 cards and playing Dig Up Dinner off of a Tunic. Such a good play.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. Yeah, if you're trying to fatigue someone and they realize it and then you do that play, their heart just drops.
You're like, oh no. They don't care about damage at all.
Yeah.
All right, so I think my next question for you, Colin, is what is your general deck building approach to the hero? And then how is it different from like other kind of like mainstream builds? Or I guess like what are the mainstream builds, or in like which one do you prefer, I guess?
And I'll add to that a little bit too. I know each hero kind of has like their own different terms that the communities have kind of labeled in certain heroes, like with Dash, like Turtle Dash, Slap Dash, things like that. And I know Reinar has a few of those too. So that might help you explain a little bit of the different deck building approaches to kind of explain what those might be and what they mean.
Yeah, sure. So to start with like my personal approach, it's, you know, honestly not super unique. The deck that has put up the results in terms of Reinar are these like decks that play mid range and then go over the top with Bloodrush, you know, 2 or 3 times a game to close out. I used to call that deck like my Pivot Claws deck, because you could block a lot, like you have lots of 3 blocks and lots of above rate attacks, like 7 power and 8 power attacks. And then at any point in the game, you can just stop blocking and send 20 damage. And that's like the deck that has had the most success in terms of like putting up results with Reinar. That's like the deck that won the calling, is basically that plus a couple pummels. And most top results are that deck. So that's like the mainstream thing that you'll see if you go and look at like Reinar's highest finishes. Other decks that people like to run, there's like a deck that runs a lot of the no blocks and leverages club being like a really good weapon, especially a really good weapon when you turn on the +1 ability. So if you think of like no blocks like Wild Ride and Pulping, and you pitch those off of a blue, discarding a 6 power, and then you play your Tunic, you've done 11 damage on 2 cards and gotten an Intimidate, which is super strong. So that's like, some people will call that like Cheetah, like a Cheetah build sometimes you'll hear it called, because it runs a lot of the go-again cards. My personal like opinion is that you should be like versatile, like I said earlier, but not versatile in like your deck, like your sideboard, versatile in like in your game plan. Like, be willing to pitch your Bloodrush Bellows if the game is, like, telling you it's going to go to second cycle. Also, be willing to, like, you know, force yourself to play them if you're, you know, playing an aggro deck and you need to get them out immediately. Does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah, that covers a lot of it. I think, and so, and what, there's also, I feel like there's also been a couple decks recently, and maybe they're not real. Maybe it's just like wins a random pro quest in the middle of nowhere or something. But aren't there some like club decks that are like fatigue, like full fatigue
type decks? Yeah, those exist. That is pretty random though. That's definitely not like the main way people are building Reinar. It could go that way soon. You know, if we're trying to keep this evergreen, if you listen to this in April of 2025 instead of 2024, there's a chance you don't have the option of playing Claws because KO took them to the other world. So club definitely like might be necessary in the future. And yeah, because it's a one card, 4 damage, and you don't even lose the card from deck, it's a weapon that you look at and you immediately are like, yeah, I could maybe fatigue with this deck, this club, this weapon, especially in a deck that can run D-Reacts easily and can like keep yellows and reds in his deck while using his weapon because it only costs 2. That's one of the strongest things you can do with Tunic. We were talking about earlier is like, you know, pitch a red barraging beatdown and use your weapon with a Tunic counter and then keep that red barraging beatdown in your deck for the second cycle.
Mm. Yeah, that makes sense. And especially now that you're Brutes are about to have 11 armor block with Savage Sash coming out.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So, yay. I can't wait.
So, this being an evergreen Reinar guide, what are, like, the 3 top cards that someone should look to target if they're trying to build Reinar? Any version, I guess.
If you're saying any version, I think the ones that you want are the cards that are going to help you win the game, right? Mm-hmm. So not like your bread and butter cards, but the cards like are Send Packing, just came out in Heavy Hitters, and that card forces your opponent to interact with you and is your biggest tool against your worst matchup, which is like aggro decks. Other than that, Swing Big. Like, that helps you win the game because it's just ridiculously above rate. But it's still a great card, in my opinion, even though it's a way above rate, because it's the opponent can play around it. It has some downsides in the Quicken token, especially nowadays with lots of like warriors and stuff having huge fridges. Mm-hmm. Other than those two, I mean, I don't want to say CNC because that's every dex, but CNC is really good. if you want something that's not a higher rarity, immediately pick up a set of barraging beatdowns. Like if I was actually talking to my friend who is a new player and wants to get into Reinar, like a new Flesh and Blood player, I would tell him to start with a deck with 9 barraging beatdowns, Alpha Rampage. And be like, okay, here's your 12 cards to start, because this is what Reinar is trying to do, or this is what LSS wants Reinar to do. So go do that and see if you like it and see how it feels. And then from there, see what you think the deck is lacking. And then, you know, adjust.
Yeah, those are 3 great cards. I'm actually surprised to hear you say Swing Big, just because our conversations, you know, in the meta currently, it just doesn't seem like it's as good as it used to be. So it's cool to see you're still, you know, thinking that's a staple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is. But, I mean, you bring up a good point, though. If you're getting into the game and you don't want to drop a ton of money immediately, then yeah, I mean, Swing Big isn't like 100% necessary to go to your armory. I mean, there's definitely times where I'm like blocking with a Swing Big and attacking with like a Send Packing instead recently.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially into Guardian or like Warrior.
Yeah. Cool. And I noticed you didn't say Blood Rush Billow, which is interesting.
Yeah. I tried not to. It's definitely the most powerful card like in the deck, like no doubt. But it doesn't, like, you don't, I don't want to, like act like that's a crutch that the whole hero is built upon, which I think is how a lot of people see Reinar. And just because one card, like, you know, is responsible for, like, doing most of the damage to your opponent doesn't mean it's, like, the only thing your hero does, you know? And I don't want to, like, pigeonhole him into the Blood Rush Bellow hero.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's just, like, anything, too, or, like, or like a lot of decks where it's like there are matchups where Blood Rush Bellow is far and away the most important card in your deck, and then there's matchups where it's like you can win without resolving two or three of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, definitely a great card.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, also, I was partly kind of assuming that like no matter how new someone is, if they've told anyone that plays Flesh and Blood that they're interested in Reinar, that person has immediately told them go get three Blood Rush Bellows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably that and two Reckless Swings, like that's like the two Reinar cards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Cool. So, what do you think? So, if somebody's listening to this and like maybe new to the game or new to Reinar, what are some common mistakes that you think a new player to Reinar might make when they pick up the hero? And how can they avoid those mistakes?
Okay, so I'll tell you the biggest mistake when it comes to Reinar is how you look at the hero. If anyone ever tells you that Reinar is like a variance hero, like they're just wrong, they just don't understand Reinar. So don't let yourself fall into that trap and thinking like, oh, he's the variance hero, I'm going to either not play him because I don't want variance, or play him because like that's... like that's what I want, and like I think that's what I need to be better players. Yeah, exactly. I mean, for the record, if you did want to play a huge variance deck, you definitely could. Like, you could throw in Skull Crushers and Bad Beats and all these cards that make you roll. But like, that's not the identity of the hero at this point. To me, the identity of the hero is using those cards that have variance written on them. Like, any time a card says discard a random card, that's variance. That using the cards that have the variance written on them and minimizing the variance. And like making these cards that are like punishing you with their variance because they're less consistent, and like minimizing that variance to make them very powerful cards, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as someone who plays Bolton, that makes, yeah, I can't even put into words how much sense that makes. Just like figuring out ways to, you know, make your cards not work against you, even if it seems like they want to sometimes.
Like a very basic example would be like, okay, yeah, so Blood Rush Bellow is the most powerful card in a Claws deck. So you look at it and you see what it does. You're like, okay, it costs one, and you have to discard a random card to play it. And that card has to be a six power, you know, or it doesn't do anything, doesn't get go again. And so you, that's, you know, variance, right? Because you draw it with Sink Below, and it's very bad. So minimizing that variance for Blood Rush Bellow means like, you know, upping your six count of like yellows, and then looking at how many resources you're going to draw into on average when you draw two cards, so that when you play it, you're not just playing it, but you're able to follow it up with three attacks. Like, you have the resources ready and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that makes sense. We're talking about variance here, and I think one of the higher variance cards in Reinar is Scabskin Leathers, you know, rolling dice to get action points. So that being said, do you want to run through some of like the typical Reinar equipment pieces and maybe how newer players can get the most out of using that equipment?
Sure, yeah. You mentioned Scabskin Leathers. That's Reinar's first legendary. If you're a new player and you have access to one, it literally wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if you just treated it as a three block and didn't really worry about the ability on it, except for maybe in like if an opponent leaves you with a full hand, like, you know, they're a Viscerai and they're playing three non-attack actions or something, and just start there, because at this point in time, in 2024, one of the best things about Reinar is how much his equipment blocks. So if your Scabskins is just a three block, like, that's still an amazing piece of equipment. If you don't have Scabskins, I think there's nothing wrong with starting with Beaten Trackers, the rare equipment piece that Reinar has, which is a Battle Worn 1, and when you discard a 6 power, you gain an action point. You can kind of treat it the way that people would treat Snapdragon Scalers in like Welcome to Wraith Limited, which is basically just like you have in your deck, and then you have one card in your deck that it's geared to be used on, and you just wait for that moment and you use it. Like, a very obvious one would be Savage Feast. So Savage Feast is a one cost, 6 power that discards a random card also. And if you discard a card of 6 power, you draw a card, but it doesn't have go again. So, like, once again, if I'm like talking to someone who's like newish to Reinar, like, I think starting with Beaten Trackers and a deck that runs Savage Feast is a good way to start. And you just know, okay, when I draw Savage Feast, as long as I have the hand to support it, you know, like a blue and at least another six power, that's when I'm using my Beaten Trackers. Other than that, the equipment on the arms is probably the most interesting spot for Reinar, because he has Apex Bonebreaker, which is just really good, one of the most powerful equipment pieces in the game. But he also has Gambler's Gloves, which can make your Scabskin Leathers really powerful. If you're a newer player and you don't want to get the legendaries, there's also Skull Crushers, just to keep up with like the brute thing of having a lot of block. Skull Crushers is another battle worn one. And also, I always liked Goliath Gauntlet in Brute more than I think a lot of people did. Goliath Gauntlet is just really strong when you're running a lot of big attacks. You can either use it when you know you're going to intimidate a lot and the damage is guaranteed to get through, or if you are running any of this new disruption, like Send Packing or CNC, or the new one from the KO Armory deck. I forget what it's called.
Strength of something about
strength. Yeah, Strength Rules All. Yeah,
Strength Rules All.
One of those. Like, I think Goliath Gauntlet would be a fine option for all of those. Yeah, and Chest is like currently, well, gosh, I was going to say the weakest spot, but I guess it's not anymore because we have Savage Sash coming out in 3 days. But your chest piece, like, I mean, it really is Tunic or Savage Sash, and you're definitely losing points if you don't have one of those. And then your headpiece, like, I think Scowling Fleshbag, the legendary, is the strongest headpiece in the game, personally.
It might be just the strongest equipment in the game.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Tunic is so good.
Yeah. But you've never played without Scowling Fleshbag? Wait until you...
Does that mean... I played with that without Scowling Fleshbag for, like, 2 years.
But, like, if I pick up a KO deck or something, I'm like, I'm going to try this out, and I have Scowling Fleshbag, I'm like, oh my god, I'm invincible. Like, I'm literally invincible until this is gone.
Yeah. No, that's like, definitely how I feel.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah. But that being said, if you're like maybe a Flesh and Blood player who is just interested in a new hero, Reinar does run a lot of the generic equipment headpieces like really well. Like Crown of Providence is very strong in Reinar. I actually miss it all the time. It helps you fix like your awkward hands. Like say you draw into a Blood Rush Bellow and you've got like two non-six powers and you want to like maximize it, like use a 5-card hand, like you could try and fix that. Or a lot of times in like Reinar, Arsenal is very difficult to use because his cards require that additional discard, especially late in the game. If your opponent ends up like pressuring you more than they expected and you never can get it off, Crown of Providence can fix that. And even, you know, Skullcap. I think that's cheap nowadays, right? That's good in Reinar.
Yeah, could block three. That's solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've said before too that like Fleshbag is like a very skill testing card. Could you talk about like when should players be looking to use Fleshbag? Because it's like, unless you don't want to give out the secrets.
that seems like a tough question to answer. But
it's like, should it be the first time you know it'll get more than two value, or what's your approach to deciding when you're going to block with Scowling Fleshbag?
Yeah. So I honestly feel like this is one of the areas that I could grow a lot. Because it is so hero dependent and matchup dependent, right? Mm-hmm. That being said, unless I know for sure that it's getting a lot of value, I'm not talking about it's two block right now, but like in addition to it's two block, like maybe four or more value, I usually personally think it's better to wait because it makes your opponent play differently. Mm-hmm. So unless, you know, they've got one card in hand and you know they're going to like one card in hand and a card in arsenal and they're going to swing their Anothos and they don't have resources for it otherwise, like, okay, there maybe it's worth it if it's saving you six damage in addition to the two it's blocking. But if you're not like sticking them with a card, right? If they have an empty arsenal, it's like usually not good to use it. And if you don't know for sure that it's saving you a bunch of damage, it's usually not good to use it. The exception is like some heroes where you kind of have to take the chance. Like if it's like an Azalea and you have a window to play, like say you've got a Blood Rush Bellow in arsenal and like they're attacking you with something that's not going to completely ruin your turn, but there's a chance they have a Codex of Frailty in hand. Okay, maybe Fleshbag just because you need to get off that Blood Rush Bellow. Uzuri would be another example, right? She comes in with Dominate. She's got two cards in hand. You have, like, once again, a Blood Rush Bellow in Arsenal. And you're like, okay, one of those cards is probably going to destroy my Arsenal. Or maybe it's only one card in hand. So you know they're going to Uzuri into it, but you just don't know if it's Arsenal Disruption or not. Like, there, again, it might be worth it. Hmm. But other than, like, situations like that, in general, I'm like, trying to see, okay, do I know for sure this is going to save me value and it's going to stick them with a card in hand? They're not going to be able to just Arsenal it. And if not, then I usually just don't use it until late game when I can, like, just save a marginal amount of value, like maybe some random Gilligan card that I stick them with. So it's like three value on that turn. And then I can, like, pivot from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I think it's one of those being on the receiving end of a lot of flesh bags. That's dirty. it's definitely one of those cards that, like, it's almost not as much. Yeah, like you're saying, even if it doesn't get as much value in the late, if you wait till the late game sometimes, it's mm-hmm. just like it tempo matters so much more in the late game, and it just helps you keep or get tempo back.
Yeah,
like When I'm playing against a brute, and there's, like, sometimes I'll even present, like, a place where, like, hey, like, you'll get a lot of value out of flesh bag if you block here. If we're both at, like, 38 life or whatever, I'm like, please just use it now. Like, please. Even though you're going to get six value out of it or more. Like, just, I'm, like, almost hoping that they'll use it then, because then it just makes the rest of the game so much easier. There's just so much less to think about. So, the card is so, so, so good.
Yeah, I mean, like, I can't even tell you how many times opponents have, you know, told me, like, man, I had to play so inefficiently this game because I was just playing around flesh bag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Katsu is a good
I would maybe
of, like,
say, as not a brute,
like,
player.
Pivoting late.
Oh, sorry. I think one of us lagged. What'd you say?
I was just going to talk about, like, Katsu briefly and how he's a good example of using flesh bag to pivot late. Because Katsu, it's hard to stick with cards because, like, most of his cards have Gilligan printed on them. So, he's got a card in Arsenal. He'll probably just play it in Arsenal, whatever card you intimidated. But he's one where, because you have so much equipment, you can usually just trade value with him. And then when you're, like, he's at, like, 10 life or so, you just draw the hand you want to draw. Block with, like, one card in your flesh bag, and then his hand presents, like, you know, 3 to 5 less damage than it was going to, and so you can survive and just kill him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so good. I would maybe say to somebody getting into Brute, this is from a non-Brute player, I think the first piece of equipment I would buy isn't... It's flesh bag. I would buy that before Tunic, before... what the hell are they called? Scab Skins, and before Apex Bonebreaker, probably.
Yeah, it's the strongest. Of those, probably you're right. With the exception of maybe Tunic, I don't know. I would probably buy Tunic first. I don't know what the prices on them are, but if they're similar, I'd probably buy Tunic first. It just makes your deck work better.
Yeah. I'm sure Tunic's like $400 by now.
It's been reprinted a bunch. You'll get a white border one or something.
Yeah, dude, History Pack Tunics, that's the real Tunic.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Ryan, you got any questions? Any more?
No, you keep going.
Okay, I got plenty. I got plenty.
Well, you go.
I think you've alluded to this a lot, like some of his challenging matchups, right? Like, basically, Reinar's most challenging matchups are, like, whatever the best aggro deck in the format is most of the time.
Yeah. It's starting to change a little bit. Sorry to interrupt you, but it's starting to change a little bit with, like, the Arsenal Disruption they're giving him. It is giving you a tool against aggro, especially aggro that doesn't want to block, like Ranger and Ninja, which were typically two of his worst matchups. And Ranger is still really hard, but Ninja is definitely getting easier, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So if, like, I'm narrowing it down by class like that, at this point, the more difficult ones are, like, Ranger and Runeblade.
Mm. Yeah, Azalea's been giving you some trouble.
Yeah.
What decks is he does Reinar perform really well into? Like, what's a good meta for him to target?
Yeah, I think that is a good way to look at it. For someone who's, like, a flesh and blood player and they, like, kind of like dabbling in different heroes and stuff. I think if your local meta has lots of Guardian and Illusionist, Reinar is set up for a lot of success there. You know, he's got natural poppers for Illusionist. He's got natural action points for auras into Illusionist in his Scabskin Leathers and Sand Sketch plan if you want it. And into Guardian, Intimidate's really good because they want to block a lot. They want to play like, you know, they draw up a hand and they always see, okay, I want to attack with this card and block with these cards. And you give them lots of difficult decisions when you Intimidate and they end up having to play really below rate. So yeah, those are the two matchups come to mind.
And Mech. Let's throw that one in there.
That's true. That's true. But like,
I've been terrorized by Colin.
That's true. But if you have local Mech players and you start playing Reinar just for that, you're like kind of a bad person.
Yeah, it is
true. You show up with three arc smashes. Like, okay, man.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's ever
three,
a local,
oh my God.
If there's ever a local Max player who's starting to do too well, you can get him out of there real quick.
Yeah,
three arc smashes, three smashing performance.
You can solve that problem yourself with two cards.
Yeah. But that, I mean, honestly, though, like, if we want to gear around from armories to a more competitive level, that is something that I actually love about Reinar, though, is, like, I pack two arc smashes to, like, every competitive tournament I ever go to, and it just makes me feel so much better, because people like Dash, she's a cool hero, Max, like, can show up randomly and spike things because he has a crazy combo, and I'm just, like, not vulnerable to it because I have these silver bullet cards, and they're not fun, but at a competitive event, I don't really care. And it's really, it's a good feeling to run a 78-card deck when your 79th and 80th cards, like, really hose one hero really badly, or one class really badly.
Yeah, taking your list a couple weekends ago to ProQuest, just having those sitting in the sideboard waiting for a mech to match up with me just felt so good. And I eventually matched into a Dash IO, and just having those cards, I don't know, just makes me feel like I cannot lose that game no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, as a Dash player, like, everything being 50-50 for the most part, just, like, felt good to have a matchup where I was like, all right, I have this. Like, I just need to play right, and I'm good.
Yeah. Don't have to stress about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can lose it, but it definitely requires a lot to go right for them and for them to play really well. So
yeah.
And if I know anything about mech players, it's that they don't usually play very well.
That's true.
Just kidding, Ryan. All right, cool. What do I have next? What do I have next? Ryan, do you have anything ready, or should I keep looking at my list?
I got one question I want to end on. So
okay. You want to end on?
Yeah.
Okay. Then I'll ask my last one and then send it over to Ryan. Hopefully this isn't the question that you want to ask too. But for, like, bigger, like, tier 4 events or whatever, like Callings, is a Calling tier 4 or tier 3?
Tier 3, I think.
Tier 3. All right, but let's include Callings in this.
Yeah.
For a Calling or a Pro Tour or even a Battle Hardened or something, what's Reinar's, like, path to victory? Like, he's won Callings before. He's performed well at Battle Hardens before, even recently, I think. And he did pretty well at Pro Tour LA. I know Pablo Pintor got 16th place and was piloting Reinar. What's Reinar's path to victory at a big event like that? What needs to go right for that to happen?
So that's like an interesting question. Because I think for most heroes, when you ask that question, they would immediately start talking about their matchups. And like we talked about before, like, Reinar doesn't have super polarizing matchups. So I don't think that's necessarily it. I think a lot for Reinar, it would be about, like, his deck lining up with itself. Like Ryan, from playing Reinar for just a couple weekends now, can attest to this. Like, the worst feeling in the time where you're like, okay, I have to play to 100% efficiency to win this game, is when you draw, like, multiple Blood Rush Bellows together, or you draw, like, your Alpha Rampage without any other six powers or Barraging Beatdowns or anything. Because he has a lot of cards like that, especially, like, with a discard effect, cards requiring a six power, that, like, have to line up together. And you build your deck to maximize that, but it's hard to build a super good deck with more than, like, 34 to 37 six powers, you know, maybe 40. If you start doing that, you start running, like, very bad cards. So, if I imagine myself, like, we'll say a Battle Hardened, because that's, like, the most recent event that I've gone to that's bigger. Like, if I imagine myself winning those 9 rounds, like, say I go 9-0 and win the Battle Hardened, I think like having to do that, like having to overcome my deck clumping in like the most awkward ways possible, like as few times as possible, like only once or twice, is like the path that I see. Cause I really feel like I could beat anyone on any hero in this game, if things go right. But if that happens to me and I'm playing my bad matchup and the person's a really good player, it's going to be hard.
Yeah. So it's about like when you see your Blood Rush builds, you don't want to see them together. And then also,
yeah,
having enough resources on the turns where you need resources too.
Yeah.
Drawing two reds off of Blood Rush is like not ideal.
Yeah. So. That's a good point too, because you do run a lot of reds. But again, to keep it evergreen, not to focus too much on Blood Rush, it's a lot of this stuff, you know. If I go back to like the Cheetah build with the non-blocks, like the Pulpings and Wild Rides, like super good cards. I was talking about earlier, doing two card 11s with an Intimidate. But also, if you draw like, you know, two Pulpings to at the same time and you don't have your tunic up, you're like, what the heck is this? It's like, yeah. Like if you draw without a blue or something, it's just gonna be real bad. You've got all these cards that don't block and pitch for one. So it's like Blood Rush is like, yeah, the one that currently is how you're gonna win a tournament probably, but it's more than just that too.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. Good answer. Family.
Do we have sound effects yet? Do you have a clapping sound?
Oh, we should get a soundboard.
I could. Oh, no.
Can I be the soundboard guy?
No.
Don't trust you at all.
No. You yes, but you have to do it in post production.
You would abuse those privileges.
No. Well, yeah. Isn't that the point?
Oh, right. I listened to. Did you say that because of that? The guys from Workaholics, their podcast. They have
Shout out. This is important. Best podcast.
I listened to one episode. This one. Yeah, second best podcast. I listened to an episode of that the other day because you said like it's funny. It took me a long time to get used to the soundboard because they do it like literally every 15 seconds. It's like, wah, wah, like,
and it's like all inside jokes that like you don't understand unless you listen to like all 200 episodes.
All right, there was so much. Anyways, yeah.
Focus back on to Colin and Reinar. I guess I'll wrap it up with the last question. What has been some of your like favorite moments playing Reinar? Like, what are some highlights for you? Any specific moments that like stick out in your head? Over the past couple of years, you've been playing the hero.
I don't know. That is a fun question. So if I think about that, like, I mean. If I think of like accomplishments, like I mean, I haven't accomplished like a ton in this game, but I do remember like being 5-0 with the calling and just like things clicking and feeling great. I remember like, you know, going to a ProQuest final during a Starvo meta when everyone was like, if you're not playing Starvo or Viscerai, you're just wrong. And they were right, but I still went to a final somehow. like that's great. In terms of like specific plays, like honestly, most of my favorite specific plays that I think of have to do with Intimidate, now that I think about it, because Intimidate is just so cool. Like, I think it's happened to me twice now, where I've like been left with a huge hand, had an Alpha Rampage in Arsenal, where I play the Alpha Rampage and then follow it up with a CNC that I didn't discard off the Alpha Rampage after like rolling scabs or whatever. It's just like the sickest play ever.
Yeah.
Like, 15 damage, 2 Intimidates, blow up their Arsenal. Just like awesome.
Oh, jeez.
There was one time, pretty recently, last RTN season, where I was playing a Teclo, and my current strategy into Teclo is just to bring in Gambler's Gloves and go as fast as possible. And, oh man, this poor guy, I high-rolled him harder than I've high-rolled anyone in my whole life.
Shout out to Dawson.
And like, I feel bad, you know, like, he's a nice guy and a really great player. He won or topped a PQ last weekend. With Teclo, great player, but this game was just not meant to be for him. I forget everything that happened exactly, but like turn 2, I had this like a beautiful Blood Rush or whatever. Turn 3, I have drawn to an Alpha Rampage and with Massacre and Brajan Beatdown, just draw it perfectly, right? quadruple intimidate him. And so he takes 13 damage. And then he passes because he had like literally an unplayable Teclo hand where he couldn't do anything.
Like all red. So like...
Yeah, I don't know exactly. But yeah, I think there were like some D-reacts in there. Yeah. So then on my turn, I'm left with a full hand, so I roll scabs, hit a six, and I pack hunt into another alpha rampage from Arsenal. So I quad intimidate him again. And he passes again.
Oh no.
And then the next turn, he leaves me the whole hand again, obviously. So I draw into another pack hunt. I roll scabs, hit it again, of course, because nothing can go wrong in this game. And we're both like 1-2 at this point in the tournament, by the way. So it doesn't matter at all that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
So I draw into another pack hunt, play it. He's like so excited. He finally gets to block with his cards. And so he blocks the pack hunt with two cards, leaving one card in hand, and he hasn't set up his Evos yet. Because I've intimidated one card, and the second card I attack with is a send packing, and his arsenal was singularity. And so I
started. No.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Oh, poor guy.
That's rough. Oh yeah. My god. Quad intimidate, pass. Quad intimidate, pass. Blow up singularity.
It's such like a fun mechanic.
It feels real good
for you.
Yeah.
Does send packing put the card in banish and then leave it there?
If they don't block it, yeah.
Okay, so you can't even like remembrance it back from graveyard.
No. Gone. It's face up, so you just it gives you information too. It's such a good card. Yeah.
So good.
Send packing creates some really interesting like gameplay moments with Vincent because they can play the card out of banish.
Oh,
true. Oh, I had, this is off topic kind of, but I forget what I was playing today. Oh, I think I played an Azalea today and I had a weird interaction with Seek and Destroy where they dominated and I had to block with one card and then I had to discard the rest of my hand and Beast Within was part of that. So I got to arsenal a card after that.
Yeah.
That happened. Like I discarded and I was like, why do I have a card in my hand still?
Dude, see, look, that should never be in a box for new players. That card.
Dude, just wait until a Riptide collapsing traps you and you intimidate their whole hand after you discard, and then you draw back up, you still have a hand.
Wait, what?
Because collapsing trap makes you discard your whole hand, then draw that many minus one. So you're just like, you claw them, and they're like, aha, collapsing trap. And you're like, okay, discard three cards, intimidate the rest of your hand.
Dude, yeah, crazy. Claw swing big.
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's hilarious.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Dude, I can't even. I'm about to start playing Reinar.
Dude, it's been really awesome. Fun. I've had like a really fun time playing Reinar.
If Riptide becomes a menace, I'm for sure playing Reinar. That's dude, awesome.
He just top dates. He did something in top eight, I think, recently, right? Battle Hardened?
Who?
Riptide.
Yeah, he top eight Valencia.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's no joke. He's got some good stuff going on.
Oh yeah.
Lurker of the Deep. Yeah, down man. There lurking.
But cool. That was a good answer, Colin. It's cool to hear some of those wacky stories and some of your favorite moments. So appreciate that. But I think that was it, right, Nick? You got anything else?
Yeah, I think that's it for our Evergreen Reinar guide. So if you're tuning in 15 years from now, feel free to reach out, say hi, see what we're up to.
15 years, we'll be friggin'
Holy
hell,
dude! We'll still be playing Flesh and Blood in 15 years, as long as James White keeps it around.
Our kids are going to be world champions at that time.
Oh, that'd be badass. That'd be so awesome. But yeah, I guess to wrap it up, we have a special new segment. I think we're going to do this every week. We don't have a name for it yet. So we might need the listeners to suggest some names. So if you're listening on YouTube, you can write in the comments some names for this segment. But Colin, do you want to go ahead and explain what this segment is?
Yeah, sure. And yeah, we would love a name. You can also just, you know, message us on Twitter or something.
Oh, that's true.
Or just tweet at us. But yeah, so basically, I like the idea of a podcast that has like a recurring segment. I know a lot of my favorite Flesh and Blood podcasts have recurring segments. I actually thought about this when I was listening to Hot or Not on Push the Point. Like, just I love listening to them do that every week. It's great. Basically, my idea was, though, that the three of us Nick Ryan and I would look at the biggest upcoming event for whatever weekend is coming up. So usually it's going to be Battle Hardened, but we also will do it for Callings and Pro Tours and stuff. And we would try and predict the top eight. And then we would get points based on how correct we are. And every like 2 months, we'll like kind of check in and see who has the most points. Like we'll check in throughout and like let you guys know who's winning in the standings and stuff. But every 2 months, we'll like declare a winner for like, you know, Ryan, these last 2 months had the most points from correctly predicting top eight people. So and then maybe one day, who knows, we'll have like, you know, we'll bet on it or have prizes or something like that. But we'll first start by just like making sure that it works and then we follow through with it and stuff. So how it's going to work is we're Battle Hardened. Valencia was last weekend. Battle Hardened Richmond is coming up next weekend. So that's what we'll be predicting this week. We're each going to say our eight heroes that are our prediction for the top eight. And then for each one we get correct, we'll get 1 point. And we'll also say what hero we think is going to win. And if we choose the winner correctly, we'll get, what did we say, 4 points or 5 points?
Four.
4 points. We'll get 4 points. And I'll like keep track of it. Next week I'll update us, and then we'll choose the next weekend's Battle Hardened or Calling or whatever it may be. Does it make sense?
Yeah, we got our own little fantasy league going on.
Yeah, basically, right? And also, now that you mention it, Nick, since you're uploading these to YouTube, people could also put their predictions in YouTube comments, because those aren't going anywhere. So, like, you know, if you listen every week and go put your predictions in the YouTube comments, like, it'd be very easy for you to add up your points. And then you can message us afterwards and tell us that you're way better at this than we are.
Yeah.
So yeah. Does anybody want to go first? Oh, you know what? Like, before you go, let me run down the Battle Hardened Valencia top eight. So we kind of have something to ground ourselves with, right? So this is the most recent top eight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Okay. So Battle Hardened Valencia, like a lot of stuff recently, has pretty spread out top eight, but here we go. So we had 2 KO, 2 Zerinthia, 1 Viscerai, 1 Victor, 1 Riptide, and 1 Dash Inventor Extraordinaire.
And then who won?
KO. So yeah, that's it. Okay. I can go first if you guys want me to.
You go first, because I got my list written down, but I think I might change one.
Yeah, I'll go last because I'm going right off the top of the head. I got nothing written down.
Rye That's just your thing, Ryan.
Rye High's going off
never,
the home.
Never fully prepare for anything.
Dude, me at Flesh and Blood events.
Yeah, literally play 3 games of Talishar. I'm good.
Okay, so I'm going to go with 2 KO. KO, he's really good. 2 went last weekend, and he's getting new cards in the Armory deck. And I also think the cards in the Armory deck, we talked about this a little bit, like Savage Sash, I also think they help Levia a lot. So I'm also going with 2 Levia. So 2 KO, 2 Levia, an Uzuri, I think Uzuri is also in a good spot right now, a Prism, a Kasai, and I think a Kano sneaks in there, because very often a Kano ends up sneaking in there.
Mm.
So that's mine.
Where does Majin Bay live?
California, I think?
I don't know.
Mm, he probably won't be in Richmond then.
Dude, you never know.
That's true. Oh, I got my Raiden mat from him. But oh, maybe I can find the envelope in the trash. Find his address.
See where he lives. That's so weird.
then predict if he's going to go to the Battle Hardened on Kano or not.
Oh my god.
So I'm going to go. Oh, who's going to win, Colin?
Oh yeah, winner. That's a good point. You know, you bringing that up. Like, if he's going to be there specifically, I didn't even think about the specific, like, Richmond area. I know a lot of those Runaways guys are from up there. Are they all going to bring Dory? I didn't put Dory in.
Are they from there? Or are they, like, from, like, New Jersey, Pennsylvania?
Dude, they're from the Northeast. Is that all this is? Is Virginia not the Northeast?
Virginia's, like,
that's the deep most south, southern.
It's like... No, dude. We're in the south. Richmond's way up there.
Richmond is
1,000 miles from here.
I think... It's probably not that far, actually.
Yeah, I feel like they'll go. But I'll I don't know if they're going to take Dory, and I'm not going to change my thing based on it anyway, so I'm going with it. But shoot, my winner. I really want to say KO. I feel kind of lame saying KO because he won the Battle Hardened last weekend. Mm. I want to go out more on a limb, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say KO.
Okay. All right, cool. I'll go next. Mine, I have one Kasai, one Prism. I feel like a Prism always sneaks in. Some Prism simp is going to get in there. A Victor, which is maybe my most controversial pick. Because Victor's pretty mid for the most part, but I think he just does good numbers. He's got good numbers.
I don't think he's mid.
Yeah,
at all.
I know. I feel
he's
bad.
Not mid. He's good, but like.
I wanted to put a Victor in two, but I just couldn't bring myself to do it. Brandon's going to be so mad at us.
I know. Well, that's because you intimidate their block cards, and then their deck is very bad.
Yeah, I'm mad at Brandon. So yeah, leave him off.
Well, I'm putting a Victor in. I'm putting a Viscerai in there. I really like that.
Me down.
Oh, I lagged again. Sorry. I'm going with a Viscerai. I think that new turtle, whatever the Viscerai list is, freaking sweet. And then I'm also, Colin, going with 2 KO, 2 Levia.
Wow. Yeah. Look at us. Best
and
friends.
I'm picking Levia to win because I think Savage Sash in Levia is like broken. Like, absolutely broken. I really think that. I just looked at their one cost brute attacks that will be free with Savage Sash, and I was like, holy shit. Graveling Growl, 0/7. That's good.
Dude. Yeah. Dude, our lists are too similar. Come on, Ryan. Come in with a spice.
Yeah.
So, did you guys both skip out on Azalea?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Mid. Just dude. So good.
All right. So, I'm also going to go with 2 KO.
Boom.
I'm going 1 Levia. I think Savage Sash is really good into Levia, but I think where we're going to see her get a spike in performance is when that new card that was just spoiled for Misfail comes out. I think card is absolutely like insane.
Levia in Gloomvale.
Yeah, exactly. So 2 KO, 1 Levia. I gotta throw OG Dash in there, Dash Inventor Extraordinaire. I am putting 1 Victor. I am then gonna go 1 KO.
You already said 2 KO. You mean Kano?
I mean Kano, I'm sorry, with an N. Yeah. Kano. Azalea. And then I'm putting Bolton in there.
Let's go.
Oh yeah.
Top 8 Bolton.
Let's go.
I'm going to say that Azalea is going to take it down because Brody Spurlock's going to make the travel up there, and he's going to take it down.
True.
Again. That's my prediction.
Heck yeah. I got it all written down. Let the games begin.
I'm glad you wrote it down because I forgot everything I just said.
I love how I could tell in the video, I could tell you were looking at pictures of the heroes.
Oh yeah, I am, definitely. And I was counting on my fingers.
Like, which ones exist?
I almost stopped at 6 and I was like, that's it.
Cool. Well, I'm excited. What does the winner get every 2 months? The other people's money?
I don't know. Maybe we should like buy each other some packs or something.
Yeah.
Like, winner gets losers each buy a pack for the winner or something.
Winner gets a cold foil romping club.
We could create a digital trophy, an image of a fake trophy, and the winner every time gets to tweet it.
Ugh. Dude, I like that. Add
Let's
it to
do
the
it.
Twitter bio. Yeah,
we could have we could have an AI generated trophy.
Dude, damn you it. Love AI.
Dude, love it. Oh man, I should replace you guys with AI for this podcast.
An AI version of me and Colin.
That'd be awesome.
I'd be into that actually.
Oh man, sweet guys, I think we're done. Are we done?
I think so.
What a great episode of Tuesday Night Flesh and Blood. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. I hope you get a lot out of the Evergreen Reinar guide. Hope you keep coming back to it. If you're listening to this, make sure to send it on to Hayden Dale so he can listen whenever he decides to actually play Reinar. So thanks, everyone. We'll see you later.